KT Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome to ABQ Connect. We are presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling. They also provide plumbing, roofing, and restoration services. If you'd like to call them to have them come out and help you with some plumbing or some roofing or any of their other services, give them a call at 444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. Our good friend Carlos Griego, he's got a neat story. He spends a lot of time helping people in the community and investing back into the community, so we appreciate him very much. We're going to have a great show today. In our first segment, we're going to have our friends from the Children's Grief Center of New Mexico, Amanda Leslie, and their board president, Greg Chase. Hi, Greg. You're joining us via Skype, I understand. How are you?
I am fine. Thank you, Jim. We really appreciate being here today.
Oh, it's a lot of fun. And Amanda's in studio with me.
Hi, Jim.
We're close to social distancing.
We are 6 feet apart.
All right. Amanda is the manager of the Center for Hope and Healing. And Greg, as I mentioned, he's a local attorney in Albuquerque, and he's the board president. We want to remind everybody they have a fundraiser coming up, and it's Friday, February 12th. It's their 15th annual Healing Hearts event. It's going to be held virtually. And so we're going to keep that in mind throughout our entire presentation today. So, Greg, let's start with you. Tell us about the Children's Grief Center of New Mexico and your mission.
The Children's Grief Center of New Mexico was formed in 2001. A group of Albuquerque residents got together, and they had a vision, and their vision has come to fruition over the years. But we are a nonprofit corporation, and we provide bereavement services to children and adults alike. We started out providing just children's services, but recently we merged with another great organization, the Grief Resource Center. And as I said, unfortunately, there's a very high incidence of children in need of bereavement services in New Mexico. The last I heard, New Mexico had the second highest incidence of children in the country losing a parent or a sibling. Mm-hmm. And that's a list we would rather not be on, of course, but we are there. And so we have a lot of kids, thousands of kids in New Mexico who are in need of our services. We are just now moving into a new building at 4125 Carlisle here. We're in the process of renovating it, and I hope we can talk about that a little bit later. But
sure.
We provide services to kids, and it's mostly through support groups. And we, over the years, we've had about 400 volunteer facilitators who help us put on those groups. These are adult people who have gone through a formal training program to get certified as volunteers. We find that the kids really respond very well to support groups. Kids, when a child experiences this kind of loss, there are two things I'd like to say about that. First of all, kids who experience this loss are at very high risk for every bad thing you can think of. Mm-hmm. And they are in dire need of our services. Kids tend to think that they are the only children on the planet who are going through this. And so they tend to withdraw. And once they start to participate in our group sessions, they look around the room and they're looking at their peers, and every child in the room has experienced this loss. Mm-hmm. So the kids can look around and say, okay, I'm not alone. I'm not alone in this. These kids are my friends, and we're in this together. And that is a huge benefit to kids. Mm-hmm. Over the years, Jim, we have provided services to 7,000 kids. Last fiscal year, I think we provided services to 750 to 800 kids. Mm-hmm. And that number seems to increase every year. Even this year, in the middle of a pandemic, we have been providing a lot of services. Well, all of our services have been virtual, but we have discovered that, you know, virtual support groups are certainly no better than, or are certainly a lot better than no support groups at all.
Yeah.
Yes. And one of the silver linings here, Jim, is that, you know, you have to find something positive about a pandemic, and our staff has gotten so good at providing these services online. And it's been very successful. And we have been able to reach communities outside of the Albuquerque area in all four corners of our state. Those kids need our services too. And it's worked out well. And I think that even when things quiet down, we will continue to provide services to kids all over New Mexico. And it's hard for, you can imagine if a child lives in the southwest corner of the state, they can't get in a car and drive for 5 hours and go to a 2.5 hour support group and get in the car and drive back home in the middle of the night and be at school the next day. It's just not very practical. So we're very happy that our online, our virtual services have been as successful as they have.
I really am blessed that there's a silver lining to COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
That's amazing. Greg, just personally, though, I mentioned you're an attorney. How did you come to be part of the Children's Grief Center of New Mexico?
Well, I in the course of my work, I have I've worked with a lot of families who have experienced this kind of a loss. And this probably sounds a little strange, but as the lawyer involved, I have to be very objective about it. I cannot get emotional. I can't allow my emotions to take over and interfere with what I'm trying to do to help people. So you have to be very objective. And there was a particular family I worked with, and I got to know the children who had participated in services through the Children's Grief Center. And I got to be very close. I'm still very close with that family. And when I was asked to be a member of the board, I thought a lot about those girls, the little girls who I got to know, and thought about what their family had been through. And I saw the benefit that those kids received from having received services through the Children's Grief Center. And it was incredible. And today they're full-grown adult women out in the community, living life with gusto. And I know that to some extent, the Grief Center helped make them who they are today.
Now see, that right there is just the testimony that we all want to hear, is that somebody had a chance to meet with other people, get loved on, get loved through all of this grief. Because the grief really is normal, right, Greg? I mean, you want to take people through that whole process, because when you love somebody, it's something that they need to go through. But gosh, the withdrawal.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and
your kids have to be able to talk about it. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but that's a really good point you make. And kids have to be able to talk about it. You know, in the quote unquote old days, kids were told to stuff their feelings, lower your head, plow forward, you'll get over it. Mm. And that doesn't work well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know the young lady sitting with me in the studio, Amanda, we've known each other about a year. You've been involved in all kinds of ministry things dealing with the homeless. So I know what your heart is.
Yeah.
You love to love on people when they're hurting.
Absolutely.
And you're an administrative manager. I think we talked about that you're kind of front and center on helping, you know, put together the Center for Hope and Healing, which is the new facility that Greg mentioned earlier. Amanda, why did you come to work for the Children's Grief Center?
Yeah, I think you summed it up pretty well. I have a heart for helping people who are hurting. God has really just made that evident in my life, that's something that He has equipped me to deal with and respond well to. And when I first heard about the Children's Grief Center and the work they did, I just knew how important it was, that there are so many adults who have issues because of a trauma that they experienced when they were younger that went undealt with. And so it's so important to be able to offer services to kids who are dealing with these issues of losing someone very important in their life and being able to talk about it. So many of the kids who come to the Children's Grief Center say, I didn't know there were other kids like me out there who also had lost a loved one. And it's so comforting to know that I'm not alone in this journey. And so it was so great that we were started out this organization meeting in person with support groups and getting people together and, you know, having those face-to-face meetings. But since COVID, we've been able to do all of this virtually and have virtual peer support groups for these kids and still offer them the same services, the same impact, the same community that we offered before. And doing things virtually has been different and a challenge. And this year, this is our 20th anniversary as the Children's Grief Center and our 15th annual Healing Hearts event. And this is the first time we're doing this online. I've heard from the community and people who have attended this Healing Hearts event online, in person before, that it's a really great opportunity here in Albuquerque to see what's going on and be a part of this event. And so this year, for the first time, it's via Zoom, and we're very excited about that. We're going to have a really great time. It's Friday, this coming Friday, February 12th, from noon to 1 p.m. And you can register online. If you go to childrensgrief.org, there's a link just a little bit down that you can register for the event and be a part of that. We also have a silent auction that we're going to be auctioning off a ton of really exciting destination vacations and some homemade items, that handcrafted locally items. So head on over to childrensgrief.org and check out our silent auction and RSVP for our event.
And we're going to make sure everybody gets that that web address.
Good.
To register and everything a couple times in the time that we have to spend together. Greg, I want to shift back to you now and talk to you about some of the funding and how this works, because presidents of nonprofits are the guys that have to be accountable for the money. And even though you provide all your services for free, mm-hmm. To the public, we know that things are not free. And tell us how your organization is funded.
Jim, we are funded almost entirely from private donations. In the last year, we did receive a government grant, and that may be the first time we've ever done that. I don't know for sure, but we go out into the community, and it's something that the board of directors works very hard on year round. We depend on individuals and businesses to support our efforts. And one of the things that, you know, as a member of the board, I certainly have fundraising responsibilities. And when I talk to people, it amazes me how many people have experienced this sort of loss in their own life. And I never would have known about that, but for the fact that I'm talking to them about helping us support our work. And people open up about it, and it's not at all unusual for somebody to say, gosh, this is near and dear to my heart. I lost a sibling when I was 12, mm-hmm. or, you know, my parent passed away when I was 15, or whatever it is. And so it is a very worthwhile cause, and it touches more people than I ever imagined.
Mm-hmm. Amanda, we've got about a minute left in this first segment. We're going to have you on for a second segment down to the bottom of the hour. So I want you to address a little bit about the new Center for Hope and Healing and some of the needs that you have there. You know, you've got a remodel and you need furnishings. Just kind of go through that list for us.
Yeah. So we moved into a wonderful 13,000, little less than 13,000 square feet building, which is completely gutted on the inside. It's bare bones. And we need help, you know, fixing it up, remodeling it. If there's people who can do carpentry work, who can donate flooring, who can put up sheetrock, who can donate ceiling tiles. We are looking for anything and everything. We are part of the community, and we want to be helped by the community in getting this great Center for Hope and Healing up and running. We're not just the Children's Grief Center anymore. We're now the Children's Grief Center and the Grief Resource Center, located at the Center for Hope and Healing. So we want to have this building be really a beacon in the community to people, to anyone who's grieving a loss can come to us, and we can help them out. But in order to do that, we got to get this building in tip-top shape.
Well, when we come back, I'm going to ask you about what do you want it to look like when somebody walks in and they're ready for a group. And, of course, this is all, you know, COVID cooperating.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're going to be back with Greg Chase. He's the president of the Children's Grief Center of New Mexico, and Amanda Leslie. She is the administrative manager and manages the Center for Hope and Healing. We'll be right back on ABQ Connect. Stay with us.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. We do things differently over here on the affordable side of Albuquerque. We give you a better deal and a better experience. The better deal part, we'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico or put $1,000 cash in your pocket. The better experience part, every new vehicle comes with the confidence of a 100,000-mile warranty and complimentary maintenance. Find your ride at mypowerford.com or come see us on the affordable side of Albuquerque on Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
Since 1970, Albuquerque Christian Children's Home has been providing a loving environment for children who are homeless, hurting, or at risk through no fault of their own. We accept these children without regard to their race, religion, culture, or social status, and care for them without any cost to a family member or the state. Our goal is always to show them the love of God through the care and dedication of the staff. For more information, go to our website, acch4kids.org, or call 898-5520.
Hi, this is John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive. You have heard a word a lot here of late, and that word is essential. Here at Southern Boulevard Automotive, our master certified technicians understand that your car, truck, or SUV is essential to getting you from point A to point B. We are open for business. Our hours are 7 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. And don't forget that we have free towing with repairs. Just call for details. Our phone number is 892-2300. That's 892-2300. We are located on the corner of Southern and Western Hills across from McDonald's in Rio Rancho. And I'm here to tell you that the most essential thing in this life is the cross of Jesus. There is absolutely nothing more important to you and I. God saw you as essential and gave his only begotten son that you would believe in him and have eternal life. Never minimize the cross. It's the centerpiece of the gospel, and never forget the hope you and I have in the empty tomb. I'm John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Be sure and call Indigo Mortgage for a quote when you are shopping for a mortgage loan. The team at Indigo Mortgage will give you a clear and concise loan estimate. Give them a call at 836-5700 or reach them on the web at indigomortgage.net. Indigo Mortgage, because nobody cares more about your mortgage loan. And that is really true. Ben Lucero, longtime sponsor of the programming here on KNKT and our show ABQ Connect, is a guy that he trains his loan officers. He vets his loan officers. These are people that care about the people that they're working with, and they do a great job. I am in studio with Amanda Leslie. She is the manager of the Hope and Healing Center for this wonderful nonprofit, Children's Grief Center of New Mexico. And Greg Chase is the president of their board. You're both very gracious to join us. We're kind of separated, the COVID thing. Greg's already graciously mentioned that there's some advantages to this. And Amanda, you also mentioned that you've been able to successfully have group interaction with people that are really in need of some support. So now I want to go back to your facility. It's called the Center for Hope and Healing. And I want you to tell us, right now it's gutted.
Yep.
What do you want it to look like? What do you want people to feel when they walk in the door?
Yeah, well, what the staff and I want above all else is just a beautiful, safe, welcoming environment. We've got this great lobby that we want to just be bright and cheerful and colorful. There's a lot of studies out there that show that color really connects with different parts of your brain, and it can make you happy and feel safe. And so we want this place to just make kids feel warm and welcome and together and no longer alone. That's what our vision for this building is. And Greg, I think you could probably chime in about what the board kind of wants this vision to be for our building.
Yes. Well, we certainly, as you said, Amanda, we want it to be warm and welcoming and comforting. I think it's important to also mention that, yes, we started out as the Children's Grief Center of New Mexico, but we also provide services to adults. Mm-hmm. We merged with another organization, the Grief Resource Center, a little over a year ago. So we are providing services to children and adults alike, which is just another great reason to really get this building up and running as soon as we possibly can. Mm-hmm. But we want it to be welcoming. We have, as you might imagine, the groups are done by ages, so that the kids are with children their own age. And so we have a number of rooms that will be used for group sessions. We have administrative offices. We're going to have a very nice conference room. Believe it or not, we are, I have to brag about us a little bit, but we're so good at what we do that we're asked to provide training to other people regarding this. So we're going to have a great training facility that will allow us to do that in a big way. So it's really going to be wonderful. It's going to be just great. We have an outdoor play space for kids, a playground that we're in the process of renovating, and yeah, it's just going to be great.
Greg, tell us about your team a little bit. You've just brought Amanda on board here recently, and tell us about the rest of your team.
Yeah, we have the executive director is a woman, Jade Bach, and Jade has been with us almost since 2001. Mm-hmm. She started out as the executive director when the organization was formed, and she's been with us almost the whole time. She took about a 2-year break, and then our executive director moved on to a different position, and Jade reapplied, and we're just delighted to have her back. She knows so much about what we do. She knows so much about our mission. She knows so much about the training that we provide. She's been with the organization literally since day one. So mm-hmm. Jade is a tremendous a person to have with us. We have a woman who's in charge of our fundraising, Susie Blake.
We had Susie on the show mm-hmm. last month.
Oh, yep. Good. Yeah. And Susie's wonderful. She's going to be our expert in getting out into the community, contacting people, and, you know, soliciting donations from individuals and corporations. We have Mia Mendoza, who is with us, and she's the program director, right, Amanda? Mm-hmm. Isn't that her official title?
Yep, that is her official title.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And she's in charge of making sure that our programs are up and running, and making sure that she just finished a big facilitator training session, 2 weekends. Where we trained even more facilitators, and mm-hmm. She's in charge of just making sure that the programs go along and as planned. And I know Mia has been involved to a great extent with respect to doing everything remotely.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I want to, Greg. I'm going to interrupt you for 1 second because
sure.
the facilitator volunteer keeps coming up. Who do I ask, Amanda? You about that, and how do people volunteer to do that?
Yeah, I can take this one, Greg. So sure. Our volunteer bereavement facilitator training is open to anyone in the community for a number of reasons. You can want to volunteer at the Children's Grief Center, and so you want to be a bereavement facilitator for any number of groups, from children to adults. You can also take the bereavement facilitator training for CEU credits if you're out in the community and you need ongoing continuing education units. We offer the same bereavement facilitator training for those people in the community who want just to learn more about bereavement and how to deal with people who are going through that. If that helps you in whatever avenue of life and career that you're working, it's a great opportunity to get some CEUs and learn about a great organization.
Well, and I would imagine that there's some church pastors and people like
Absolutely.
That who could use some training.
Absolutely. I think anyone who's in a pastoral role, a counselor role, you definitely need to have some bereavement training just to know, you know, the different ways to approach people. Everyone deals with grief differently. Everyone needs to be approached differently, and to be able to have those tools in your toolkit to know who needs what is very helpful.
Amanda, you've seen some tough stuff. I already mentioned that you've spent a lot of time serving the homeless population mm-hmm. and people. You know, I hate to use a word like population because that sounds like there's a whole bunch of numbers. It doesn't address the people involved. Mm-hmm. And to do what you're doing now,
to do that, you really have to care about the people.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen people really change when they get the kind of care and love that you bring to them?
Absolutely. I've gotten the opportunity since we've been filming on our Healing Hearts event. We've had a lot of past clients come in and give their testimony about how the Center for Hope and Healing helped them when they were a kid. And so I've gotten to meet a couple of those people and hear their story. And these stories are heartbreaking in the best of ways. You know, they come in as children who lost a very important person in their life, a sibling, a parent, a grandparent that took care of them. And they felt alone. They felt neglected. They felt, you know, that there was no hope for them. And they came to a peer support group at Children's Grief Center. They were connected with some people, some facilitators who gave them the tools to deal with their grief and move on. And now they are people who are out in the community and are just doing a great job at life and moving on from that trauma, but moving on in a very safe and healthy way, and who are now, some of them have come back and have been bereavement facilitators. So that circle of them coming in as kids all the way up to them helping kids who are coming in is just really, really heartwarming and inspiring and just a great thing to be a part of.
Greg, this is a little off script, but I need to ask you, I mean, I'm sure there's some cases where you come in and you find out that maybe a child, the loss of a loved one was kind of the, I don't know, the spark, if you will, for maybe some other mental health issues, maybe depression and some other things. Do you cooperate with some agencies in town and are you able to refer people that need additional care?
Yes, we do a lot of really good things, but we do not provide one-on-one psychological mental health type of therapy. But if we see that's in need, we have people we can refer the kids to or the adults. I mean, this isn't limited to children, but mm-hmm. Yes, we don't do it ourselves, but we have some good people we can refer to.
But exciting on that topic, in our building, once it's finished, we actually have 4 suites that we're going to be renting out to different people in the community who deal with who come into contact with different clients who need help. So we'll have therapists. We could have a counselor. We could have a massage therapist. We are open to really, you know, anyone who helps people to rent out these suites. And we're hoping for a lot of therapists and counselors so that when we come into contact with people who need more support than what we can offer, we can just refer them directly over to the suite on the other side of the building. Mm. It's going to be great.
Last time I met with Amanda and Susie, I wasn't aware of this story, but I'd like to share it with both of you.
Sure.
There is a gentleman, he is a pastor of a church up in Idaho. His name is Corson. He's also the founder of an organization called Hope Generation. He's a real young guy, very dynamic speaker, but I had a chance to talk with him. And he shared with me something that I immediately thought of you, Amanda. I thought about the children's grief center, because he shared that in a matter of a very short time, he lost his little sister and his brother.
Oh, wow.
And that really spurred on, they ended up finding out that he was actually dealing with clinical depression.
Oh, yeah.
And they would have never known were mm-hmm. it not for, but he went through some really tough times because he didn't have people to talk to. Yep. And then I want to mention this too, and this is not a criticism of the church. Of course, largely, Greg, our audience is largely faith-based. We have a lot of churches, a lot of Christian people that listen to the show of all denominations. But, and I want to say this publicly, is the church hasn't done a real great job with mental health issues until recently, but they really are doing that now. They are referring people with mental health issues to professionals, and they're getting medical attention in addition to encouraging them spiritually. So that's why I wanted to ask you earlier, Greg, and it's really nice just all the things that you're doing. We are almost out of town, but Amanda, I want you to one more time. It's the 15th annual Healing Hearts event.
Yep.
This Friday, February 12th, how do people get involved?
Yes, so they can go to childrensgrief.org and register for the event. You do have to register because we have only 300 spots for people to be a part of this Zoom call. I'm calling it the Zoom phenomenon because it's going to be awesome. It's going to be a lot of fun. We have a lot of different stories from people in the past who have come to be a part of the Children's Grief Center. We have a silent auction that we're doing that is currently open. We have really exciting trips all over the in the world, from Jackson Hole to Iceland, the Canadian Rockies, tropical Key West, Greece, and the Greek islands. We'll have a selection of handcrafted items from the community. We have a family portrait package, a private wine class, a health and wellness. We've got some really exciting auction items. All the proceeds go to benefit the Children's Grief Center and the work that we're doing in the community. And so just again, you can go to childrensgrief.org and register for the event. And you can also click the link to see the auction.
Greg Chase, Amanda Leslie, thank you for joining us today on ABQ.
Thank you.
Thank you.